over at Sullivan Hall at 7:30. It's Diablo Royale, Pill Hill Radio, The Perfects, Hope Kills Fear. And that's your concert billboard for Tuesday, March 10th, 2009. In the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, those who make nonviolent revolution impossible only make violent revolution inevitable. Check out WUSB on the web at WUSB.FM. Always keep it locked right here.
And yes, you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. Thank you. dreadfully sorry, technical issues again here at the station. Yeah, headphones still not working, so got some replacements, and now I just sound kind of weird, sound like I'm talking through a tunnel, but only I hear that, you don't hear that, sounds normal to you. Listeners have no idea what goes on in the background. A very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. It's amazing what a difference a single week makes. Last week we had 15 inches of snow on the ground, and now there's nothing. In 1 week it all disappeared. So sad, really, because I think this is the end. I think that was winter's last hurrah. I mean, sure, it's not even mid-March yet, but I don't know, just call it a feeling or something. I don't think it'll be back. But we can always hold out hope, after all. Spring doesn't officially begin for another couple of weeks. And there's always a chance for something in April. Just not very likely. I always take issue, and I raise the point whenever somebody says, the weather today is so nice. It's nice weather. Pleasant temperatures. I mean, those are all subjective terms. How dare you say this is a nice day when it's 70 degrees in the middle of January? That's not a nice day. That's a messed up day. That's the kind of day that should not happen. In January in New York, it should be maybe 5 degrees Fahrenheit. All right? That's January. So you can have your 70 in July or June or whatever. Plenty of time to have that quote-unquote nice condition. But for me, I consider a nice day to be a cold day in the winter. That's why they call it winter. But whenever I do that, whenever I say temperatures today will be pleasant, as they flirt with 0 degrees Fahrenheit, I get the craziest looks. You can't use the word pleasant. You can't say that's nice. Of course I can. It's my definition of nice. It's all subjective. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Things like that. So, you know, it's been a nice winter overall. Could be better, but it's been okay. Enough about the weather, though. It's kind of tiring after a while if you just talk about nothing but the weather. I'd like to take some phone calls tonight. We haven't done that in a while. And since I was able to get around the headphone issue, looks like we'll actually be able to do it this week. So I'll give out the phone number, and people can jot it down and give us a call maybe about half past. Remember, those of you listening in other parts of the world, other parts of the country, outside of the Suffolk County, Long Island region, this is a live program. You're not listening to this program. Well, maybe you are listening to it delayed. Maybe you're listening to it later. But if you're tuned in now and it's 10 minutes after 6 Eastern Daylight Time, yes, now it's Daylight Savings Time, that's back, well, you can call up and participate in the program. And how many podcasts, yes, I'll use that word for those of you listening in other parts of the world, how many podcasts offer you that opportunity? Not many. So, let's say in about 20 minutes, we'll be taking phone calls 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. And you can tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods. Of course, if you're local as well, you can also call us. I just like to hear different voices. I like to know there's more than the usual three people out there. And based on the mail we get, based on the letters, I think there are quite a few listeners out there that just are kind of shy. Yeah, I see. You know, someone's already calling. Did I not just say we'll be taking phone calls in about 20 minutes? So why are you calling now, huh? what do you hope to achieve? You think you'll be first online? Let me tell you how it works. If you call now, the phone company will kick in after about 2 minutes and say, hey, no income is being generated on this call, disconnect, and then you're back at the end. You've gained nothing. Nothing at all. Other than to have me go on about why someone's doing that. Maybe that floats your boat or something. I don't know. Okay, we have got a strong response for all these predictions from 1900. We still have a bunch left. This is from the Ladies' Home Journal of the year 1900, predicting what life would be like in the year 2000, which is now in the past. Kind of weird, huh? And I'm inviting people to write in to OTW at 2600.com and tell us what you think life will be like in 2109. And then maybe in that year, somebody will be using some technology, it won't be radio, it won't be print, it'll be something new, to make fun of us and how stupid we were and the kinds of predictions that we were coming up with for 100 years from now. So it's your chance for immortality. All right. You know, I hope we get away from the strawberries as large as apples and peas as large as beets type of predictions they were having. That really spooked me out. I got nightmares. So let's move on to something a little bit different. Predictions from 1900. And this is one of my favorites, actually. Thank you, Theme. Thank you very much. There will be no C, X, or Q in our everyday alphabet. They're not saying in the New York City transit system, no. And they would have been wrong then anyway, because there is a C and a Q train, but there's no X train. Why is that? There's no X train. But no, no C, X, or Q in our everyday alphabet. Imagine that. They will be abandoned because unnecessary. Well, kind of sentence is kind of weird, too. They will be abandoned because unnecessary. I guess you could talk like that back then. Spelling by sound will have been adopted first by the newspapers. English will be a language of condensed words expressing condensed ideas. Wow, ever hear of Newspeak? Apparently they were predicting that. And it will be more extensively spoken than any other. Number two will be Russian. You guys didn't happen to notice a whole lot of Chinese people? Even back in 1900, they were pretty populous. And a lot of people were speaking Spanish then, too. I don't know, Russian number two. But no, C, X, and Q are still very much a part of our language. I could see why people might say, why do you need C? Because you can say whatever words have a C in them with either a K or an S. And X, well, yeah. X isn't used all that much, is it? And it can be replaced with other letters as well. And Q, well, Q is just a pain in the ass, no matter how you say it. Say whatever words it's used to spell. And you always have to put U after the end of after Q is used. So yeah, I could see why you might want to lose those letters, but no, we still have them. In fact, I think we should get more letters. I think we're due. I think we've earned them. We have 26 letters in our alphabet. Shouldn't we be up to 28 by now, or maybe 30 or something like that? Other countries, other languages have moved ahead, added letters. You know, they've got some letters with just two dots on top, and apparently that counts as being another letter. Why can't we do that? It's kind of pathetic only having... It's like things not changing in this country. You know? We need to move on. The other thing I've always wondered is who makes up the rule that says what letter is going to come after which letter? I mean, we all know the alphabet, but who got to pick the order? Who got to say that Y came after X? And why do you have to get it in the right order? When you say the alphabet in class, and those of you still in school, try this. Say the alphabet in a different order. See if the teacher gets mad at you. And if the teacher does get mad at you, ask why. You know the letters, you're just saying them in a different order. Why does the order matter? So, yeah, those are things to ponder. Okay, another prediction. How children will be taught. This is always of great interest. A university education will be free to every man and woman. Wow, sounds like socialism, doesn't it? Several great national universities will have been established. Well, that's... don't know about that. Children will study a simple English grammar adapted to simplified English and not copied after the Latin. Time will be saved by grouping like studies, meaning similar studies. Poor students will be given free board, free clothing, and free books if ambitious and actually unable to meet their school and college expenses. Wow, can you imagine that? This is the best one yet. Medical inspectors regularly visiting the public schools will furnish poor children with free eyeglasses, free dentistry, and free medical attention of every kind. Oh, man. The very poor will, when necessary, get free rides to and from school and free lunches between sessions. In vacation time, poor children will be taken on trips to various parts of the world. Etiquette and housekeeping will be important studies in the public schools. I don't know why they tacked that sentence on, but yeah. Boy, that's idealistic. And maybe in the next 100 years that might be a possibility. Wow. Okay, telephones around the world. This is one near and dear to my heart. Wireless telephone. Keep in mind, this is 1900 they were predicting this. Wireless telephone and telegraph circuits will span the world. A husband in the middle of the Atlantic. Why is a husband in the middle of the Atlantic? Will be able to converse with his wife sitting in her boudoir in Chicago. We will be able to telephone to China quite as readily as we now talk from New York to Brooklyn. New York to Brooklyn. Oh, wow. I mean, that's the same city now. It wasn't then. By an automatic signal, they will connect with any circuit in their locality without the intervention of a hello girl. Yes, no more hello girls. Wow. Okay, you got that one completely right, I think. The Grand Opera will be telephoned to private homes and will sound as harmonious as though enjoyed from a theater box. I think they're talking about FM radio. Automatic instruments reproducing original airs exactly will bring the best music to the families of the untalented. You don't have to get nasty about it. Wow, okay, it sounds like now you're describing an MP3 player or just a CD player or something like that. Great musicians gathered in one enclosure in New York will, by manipulating electric keys, produce at the same time music from instruments arranged in theaters or halls in San Francisco or New Orleans, for instance. Thus will great bands and orchestras give long-distance concerts. In great cities, everything's great. There will be public opera houses whose singers and musicians are paid from funds endowed by philanthropists and by the government. More socialism. The piano will be capable of changing its tone from cheerful to sad. I'm not sure why the piano would change over time. Couldn't the piano do that in the past? Many devices will add to the emotional effect of music. That's not a bad prediction. Not a bad prediction, looking ahead there in 1900. How about this? Coal will not be used for heating or cooking. It will be scarce, but not entirely exhausted. The Earth's hard coal will last until the year 2050 or 2100. Its soft coal mines until 2200 or 2300. Meanwhile, both kinds of coal will have become more and more expensive. Man will have found electricity manufactured by water power to be much cheaper. Every river or creek with any suitable fall will be equipped with water motors, turning dynamos, making electricity. Along the seacoast will be numerous reservoirs continually filled by waves and tides rushing in. Out of these, the water will be constantly falling over revolving wheels. All of our restless waters, fresh and salt, will thus be harnessed to do the work which Niagara is doing today, making electricity for heat, light, and fuel. All right, not bad, not bad. Would have been nice to see something about wind power or solar power, but that's okay. It's all right. Hot and cold air from spigots. Oh, this is interesting. Hot or cold air will be turned on from spigots to regulate the temperature of a house as we now turn on hot or cold water from spigots to regulate the temperature of the bath. So they're talking basically about central heating and air conditioning. Central plants will supply this cool air and heat to city houses in the same way as now our gas or electricity is furnished. Rising early to build the furnace fire will be a task of the olden times. Homes will have no chimneys because no smoke will be created within their walls. Well, you know, some people still like to have fireplaces. But yeah, you know, didn't predict the self-contained air conditioning unit. I guess that would have been a bit much, but air being transported through pipes or ducts throughout city streets? That didn't really happen, did it? Okay, store purchases by tube, and they're not talking about the internet here. Pneumatic tubes, instead of store wagons, will deliver packages and bundles. These tubes will collect, deliver, and transport mail over certain distances, perhaps for hundreds of miles. Can you imagine that? your mail coming through a pneumatic tube hundreds of miles long. They will at first connect with the private houses of the wealthy, then with all homes. Great business establishments will extend them to stations, similar to our branch post offices of today. Whence? When's the last time you used the word whence? Whence fast automobile vehicles will distribute purchases from house to house. Now, get this one. Ready-cooked meals will be bought from establishments similar to our bakeries of today. Are they predicting McDonald's? Not really. They will purchase materials in tremendous wholesale quantities and sell the cooked foods at a price much lower than the cost of individual cooking. Food will be served hot or cold to private houses in, yes, pneumatic tubes or automobile wagons. The meal being over, the dishes used will be packed and returned to the cooking establishments where they will be washed. Such wholesale cookery will be done in electric laboratories rather than in kitchens. These laboratories will be equipped with electric stoves and all sorts of electric devices, such as coffee grinders, egg beaters, stirrers, shakers, parers, meat choppers, meat saws, potato mashers, lemon squeezers, dishwashers, dish dryers, and the like. All such utensils will be washed in chemicals fatal to disease microbes. Having one's own cook and purchasing one's own food will be an extravagance. Pneumatic tubes. You know, they're really big on electricity here. I've noticed this. Vegetables grown by electricity. That's another prediction. Winter will be turned into summer. Oh, great. And night into day by the farmer. In cold weather, he will place heat-conducting electric wires under the soil of his garden and thus warm his growing plants. He will also grow large gardens under glass. At night, his vegetables will be bathed in powerful electric light, serving like sunlight to hasten their growth and driving birds crazy. Electric currents applied to the soil will make valuable plants grow larger and faster and will kill troublesome weeds. Rays of colored light will hasten the growth of many plants. Electricity applied to garden seeds will make them sprout and develop unusually early. Yeah, really big into electricity, really big into recycling and not wasting. Find that interesting. Okay, this is the last prediction we're going to read today from Ladies' Home Journal of the year 1900, predicting what life will be like in the year 2000. Oranges will grow in Philadelphia. Yeah, not kidding here. Fast-flying refrigerators on land and sea. Fast-flying refrigerators. Wow, what a concept. Will bring delicious fruits from the tropics and southern temperate zone within a few days. The farmers of South America, South Africa, Australia, and the South Sea Islands, whose seasons are directly opposite to ours, will thus supply us in winter with fresh summer foods which cannot be grown here. Scientists will have discovered how to raise here many fruits now confined to much hotter or colder climates. Delicious oranges will be grown in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Cantaloupes and other summer fruits will be of such a hardy nature that they can be stored throughout the winter, as potatoes are now. All right, that's a few predictions from the Ladies' Home Journal, the year 1900. And I think we have room for one more spate of those in a week to come. But yeah, it's neat to look back and see what people thought life would be like in the present day. And sometimes they get it right, sometimes they really miss by a mile. And other times they make you wonder, yeah, why didn't we do that? Why didn't we have moving sidewalks throughout the city? You know, why didn't we have all these really cool devices and travel into the stars and things like that? Why didn't we? Maybe it's not too late. Here's something from the present day that kind of bugged me. It was basically an announcement about something Kawasaki is doing. They're developing a 217-mile-per-hour train for Japan. Now, why does that annoy me? Well, because we're so backwards here that we can't even get a train to go 80 miles an hour. And here they are developing something for a country that already has really fast trains, but now even faster. 350 kilometer per hour, that's 217 miles per hour, environmentally friendly super express train. Kawasaki has unveiled this new high-speed train called the Environmentally Friendly Super Express Train, or FSET. Yeah, Kawasaki designed the train with a lightweight aerodynamic body to lower vibration and noise. It will also be equipped with regenerative braking that recycles kinetic energy generated by movement. The Kawasaki train is even faster than Japan's record-holding Shinkansen train, which travels at a speed of 186 miles per hour. You know, it's not that big a country either. Why do they have to go so fast? We have a huge country, and we go slow as molasses. It's not right. In order to assure reliability of the new train, engineers will make use of components proven to work in the Shinkansen train network. But Japanese train riders will have to settle for the Shinkansen train in the near future. They'll have to only go 186 miles per hour. The Kawasaki design won't be finished until March of 2009. That's this month. This article was written last month. I mean, these people, they think they have to wait a month, and that's a big deal. All right. Well, okay. Engineering verification won't be completed until March of 2010. Okay, so they have one more year they got to wait. How will they get through this? Americans, specifically Californians, will have to wait even longer for their 220-mile-per-hour high-speed train, which won't be ready until 2030. Right, you see why I'm annoyed now. Now, what's the difference? Why do we have to wait an additional 20 years when it's already working someplace else in the world? Why can't we just lay down the track and plug it in? Why can't we do that? Seriously, we need to change the way we think about these things. I've suggested many times that, you know, we just award the contract to one of these countries that can get it right, whether it be China with their maglev train, which actually was designed by Germans and Dutch, or Japan, which really understands high-speed rail, or some of the Europeans. You know what you do? You give them the land. You say, okay, the track that you lay, that's now part of your country. That's not part of China or Japan or Germany or whatever. Your land. Just build us the train. Get it over with. And in 2 years, we'd have a network. And yeah, okay, we'd be giving up some of our country in exchange, but won't that be worth it? You'd have diplomatic immunity when you're on the train, I suppose. I think that would be kind of cool. All right, let's take a look at some letters. And yes, I haven't forgotten. I'll be taking phone calls in just a little bit. But let's go through some letters, as we always like to hear from our listeners. I just wanted to say that the selection you made for the new theme was really great. Sorry for the lateness, but I had some madness last week and was unable to listen to the show / theme on its first day of usage. Madness is nothing to be laughed at. We all go mad occasionally. And glad you got through it, or apparently got through it. Seemed to be able to string these sentences together very well. Philip Glass really is a talented guy. He, of course, is the composer of our theme. I'll be leaving for my hometown of Split, Croatia. That's a great name. In late May, and will definitely be spreading the word of Off the Hook and Off the Wall and 2600 in general to all of my English-speaking friends in Croatia. Thanks for the great show. P.S. 24 sucks. Signed, Danny. Yeah, 24 does suck, doesn't it? It just gets crazier and crazier. I don't even have any comments on last night's episode. It's just, it gets really wacky and wild. Now, Lost, on the other hand, continues to amaze me with its creativity and imagination. I don't know where that's going to go next. Here's a different view on the theme. The new theme sucks ass. Great. I can say that on the air, can I? Yeah. Great show, though, although I no longer play with blasting caps, signed Luke. Well, Luke, thanks very much for that comment. And, of course, your reference to blasting caps, you're referring to, I believe, our Bunky and Spunky public service announcements that air on our rebroadcast of The Voice of Long Island, which come your way every Friday night at midnight. And let me just clear something up here, too. A lot of people think that my co-host, Mike Juhas, and I did those public service announcements back in 1981 on The Voice of Long Island. We did not. Those were other people that came in and did those voices. I could never make my voice do that. Even when I was six, I could not make my voice go to that high a pitch. Occasionally we guest starred on one of their shows, but Monkey and Spunky were not us. Just to clear that up so people know. Here's another letter. There's a reason for me being so pedantic on this. I shall explain after the correction. A caller called in and started out with Oprah Winfrey going on to racial identification. My correction is regarding his stating that Clinton got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act. According to Wikipedia, the ultimate source. The bill sent by Congress for Clinton to sign to end Glass-Steagall was veto-proof. In other words, it didn't make any difference whether he signed it or not. It would pass into law regardless. The reason I dwell is I notice an eternal effort by some to maintain a balance of criticism between Democrats and Republicans, and when they find the comparative short supply of criticizable things on the Democrat side versus Republican, they scour the internet and AM dial until they hear something critical of Democrats not bothering to vet its accuracy. Please, let's just listen to Dave Emery and accept that the Republican Party has, since that yellow dog John Wilkes Booth killed their only progressive president following the Civil War, been the party of fascism, racism, plutocracy, and kleptocracy. Until we accept the truth and stop trying to win popularity contests with them on the right, we will fail to progress towards the stability and state of general well-being that is easily attainable if we will only see things as they are and act in our collective best interests. P.S. If donation-based websites will only place a donate by PayPal button on their website, I guarantee their donations will go up, as PayPal makes it extremely easy to donate small sums of money before, often because it's before it's been transferred into the bank accounts to become real money. Thanks for that little tip as well. Here's another letter. Last week you had talked about more information coming out about the Bush administration's possible abuses, and I was wondering if you have read the book The Dark Side by Jane Meyer. I have not. If not, I recommend this book. The information in the book seems to now show up in the news as of late. Even if you had already thought that the Bush administration had been doing such abuses, reading this book was an eye-opener even more so. It talks of how we may have allowed the Bush administration to compromise America's ideals for the sake of security. Some of the information is pretty disturbing as to how detached they seem to act towards the issue related to torture as well, as what to do with those who are actually found to be innocent. If the allegations of torture and other abuses by the Bush administration officials, such as John Yoo, David Addington, and Cheney, are true, then I believe they should be tried for war crimes, if not at least for violations of the U.S. Constitution. I certainly hope that day comes, and I got to say, the revelations last week by Eric Holder and the Obama administration, I think, move us a step closer in that direction, and that would be a very good thing. A very good thing in the healing of this place. Hopefully, the latest news and this book will help shed more light to the public that this is a subject that should not be taken lightly or simply discarded into some dusty corner of history in hopes that we will forget. Signed, Christian. Thank you very much for that bit of wisdom there. Get this. I started listening to ABC, meaning the Australian Broadcasting Company, their program called All in the Mind. They have a podcast. I thought I hit the wrong button. Someone else was using the same theme as Off the Wall. I happen to love both your shows. Signed, Steve from Canton, Ohio, who also adds, I still have my Ma Bell is a Cheap Mother t-shirt I got from TAP back in the 1970s, along with about 50 back issues. Do you need them? I'm not sure if you're asking, do I need the shirt or do I need the back issues? I'd love to have TAP back issues. I don't know if I actually have TAP back issues. And if you certainly don't want or need them, send them on over. We definitely use them in our library here. TAP magazine, of course, being the hacker slash phone freak magazine that predated 2600 back in the 70s and 80s. And here's somebody else who also wrote in with the same information about that other program, the former off-the-wall theme. It's the old theme, which was entitled Point Blank, seems to be used by the Australian radio show All in the Mind. Nothing special, just to let you know. Thanks for writing in, person who does not want to be identified in any way. But we managed to call up that podcast on the net. I just want to play the opening bars of it so you hear what it sounds like to have someone else actually using our theme, our old theme, the theme we no longer use. It's kind of weird because they started to use this theme after we stopped using this theme. And I don't know if that was there was a reason for that. Maybe we just called a lot of attention to the theme when we stopped using it. Who knows? But this is what it sounds like now in Australia.
This is an ABC Radio National podcast, and we have many more to choose from, which you can hear details about after this program. But right now, we hope you enjoy this podcast.
memory is really much more than simply a record of experience. It is what really defines who we are and who we're going to be. We really have to rethink the term itself, memory.
There has been an intuitive connection for literally thousands of years between sleep and memory. I mean, even such simple phrases as, oh, I'll need to sleep on it, suggests that we have an intuitive notion that sleep is important for memory processing.
And welcome to All in the Mind on Radio National, abc.net.au/rn. I'm Natasha Mitchell. And in this show, memory.
Okay, that is kind of weird hearing the theme with another radio show, but how about that? All in the Mind, out of Australia, using our old theme. Well, we have a new theme, and I happen to think that theme is even better and more suited for the... yeah, there it is. Anybody using this theme? No, I don't think so. In Battle of the Themes, this one clearly wins. Okay, we're going to take phone calls in just a moment or two, but I just wanted to, in the wake of some of those predictions that we were reading, I wanted to read something that is so bizarre, so crazy, that it almost seems to be science fiction, but it's real. It's too real. It's a commentary I saw on the net this last week, which scared me, really did. It's about this this company known as Monsanto. Many of you have probably heard of them. They're a seed company, and they seem to be kind of a monopoly now. And imagine this. Imagine living in a world where plants are thought of as almost like intellectual property, where you're not allowed to copy them. And copying them, of course, means planting them, planting their seeds. You need a license to do this. Craziness. I mean, I still have trouble getting over the fact that growing certain types of plants is illegal. I just cannot get that through my head. But this goes beyond that. Now, I'm going to read what we have here on this particular website. Some say, which is, by the way, Mercola.com, M-E-R-C-O-L-A.com, take control of your health is what they say on that site. Some say if farmers don't want problems from Monsanto, they simply shouldn't buy Monsanto's GMO seeds. But it isn't quite that simple. Monsanto contaminates the field, trespasses onto the land, taking samples, and then sues, saying they own the crop. Meanwhile, Monsanto is taking many other steps to keep farmers and everyone else from having any access at all to buying, collecting, and saving normal seeds. They've bought up the seed companies across the Midwest. They've written Monsanto's seed laws and gotten legislators to put them through that make cleaning, collecting, and storing of seeds so onerous in terms of fees and paperwork that having normal seed becomes almost impossible. Monsanto is pushing laws that ensure farmers and citizens can't block the planting of GMO crops, even if they can contaminate other crops. There are Monsanto regulations buried in the FDA rules that make a farmer's seed cleaning equipment illegal because it's now considered a source of seed contamination. Monsanto has sued more than 1,500 farmers whose fields have simply been contaminated by GM crops. It's really incredible. Here's a commentary. There's a reason why I believe Monsanto to be one of the most evil companies on the planet. It does sound like something out of science fiction. It really does. And this is in large part due to its activities relating to controlling food production through controlling the seeds to produce it. For nearly all of its history, the United States Patent and Trademark Office refused to grant patents on seeds, viewing them as life forms with too many variables to be patented. But in 1980, the U.S. Supreme Court allowed for seed patents in a 5-4 decision, laying the groundwork for a handful of corporations to begin taking control of the world's food supply. Since the 1980s, Monsanto has become the world leader in genetic modification of seeds and has won at least 674 biotechnology patents, more than any other company. This is not surprising, considering they invest over $2 million a day on research and development. But Monsanto is not only patenting their own GMO seeds, they have also succeeded in slapping patents on a huge number of crop seeds, patenting life forms for the first time, again without a vote of the people or Congress. By doing this, Monsanto becomes sole owner of the very seeds necessary to support the world's food supply, an incredibly powerful position that no for-profit company should ever hold. Now, farmers who buy Monsanto seeds are required to sign an agreement promising not to save the seeds or sell them to other farmers. The result of this is that farmers must buy new seeds every year, and they must buy them from Monsanto. Meanwhile, these same farmers who Monsanto is claiming to help are being aggressively targeted and pursued for outrageous patent infringements on these same seeds. They have the seed police. Monsanto employs an arsenal of private investigators and agents who secretly videotape farmers, snatch crop samples from their land, and even fly helicopters overhead to spy, all to catch farmers saving or sharing seeds. As of 2005, Monsanto had 75 employees and a $10 million budget solely to investigate and prosecute farmers for patent infringement. And until recently, Monsanto has even been known to sue farmers for GM crops growing on their land that got there via cross-contamination. In other words, a neighboring farm's GM seeds blew over onto their land, and Monsanto slaps them with a lawsuit. I realize this seems incredible, but it is true. Creating and promoting GM crops is, in my opinion, a major threat to public health. Patenting those same seeds takes it to an even higher level of evil. But there's another reason why I don't believe for one second that Monsanto has the virtuous intentions they claim. Terminator seeds. Yes, that's right, Terminator seeds. Monsanto is considering using what's known as Terminator technology on a wide-scale basis. These are seeds that have been genetically modified. By the way, it's what the GM we're referring to refers to as well. Genetically modified to self-destruct. In other words, the seeds and the forthcoming crops are sterile, which means farmers must buy them again each year. This solves their problem of needing seed police, but they're obviously looking the other way when it comes to the implications that Terminator seeds could have on the world's food supply. The traits from genetically engineered crops can get passed on to other crops and often do. And once the Terminator seeds are released into a region, the trait of seed sterility could be passed on to other non-genetically engineered crops, making most or all of the seeds in the region sterile. Not only would this mean that every farm in the world could come to rely on Monsanto for their seed supply, but the GM traits could destroy agriculture as we now know it. So obviously, this is a big deal. This is something so scary that my first reaction is to believe that it's fiction. Anyway, this person urges you to get informed on the issue by watching a documentary called The Future of Food, this in-depth investigation into the disturbing truth behind genetically modified foods is one of the best documentaries I've ever viewed. It will help you understand the very real threat that all future generations face as a result of genetic engineering. Next, hit Monsanto where it counts, their bottom line. By boycotting all GM foods and instead supporting organic and local farmers who do not use Monsanto's seeds, you are using your wallet to make your opinions known. This means abstaining from virtually all processed food products, which are mostly loaded with GM ingredients, sticking to fresh, locally grown organic foodstuffs instead. The True Food Shopping Guide is a great tool for helping you determine which brands and products contain GMO ingredients. It lists 20 different food categories that include everything from baby food to chocolate. And again, more information, hop on over to mercola.com, M-E-R-C-O-L-A.com. Just type in Monsanto, spelled M-O-N-S-A-N-T-O, if you feel like getting scared. And boy, yeah, we should be scared. You know what else we should be scared about? The latest thing, another church shooting. It's simply incredible to me that we've graduated from school shootings now to church shootings. There was one on Sunday where a pastor was killed by somebody who just apparently was experiencing mental problems and had easy access to weaponry. And now the big concern is security systems inside churches. They say churches need security plans. Churches need armed guards. Churches need evacuations and lockdowns, all kinds of things like this. We've really reached into the realm of insanity in this world with genetically engineered seeds and churches with armed guards. You have to take a good look at society and ask, what's happened to us? And let me hop over into Delay and give out the phone number, which is 631-632-9872. We'll take some phone calls as soon as we get a few phone calls. And again, the phone number, 631-632-9872.
Hello, this is Henry Rollins, and you're listening to WUSB SUNY Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
And that spells WUSB, at least 972. I did it again, didn't I? I'm sorry, Henry Rollins got in the middle of this, but I was basically still saying the phone number, which is 631-632-9872. And again, when we get a couple of calls coming in, we'll take a couple of calls. That way we have more calls to go to. And we'd like to hear from people. If anyone's listening from Australia, I'd like to hear from them because we just played an Australian radio snippet. And I'd like to know if anybody listens to that program. But getting back to the church shootings, there are these companies now. There are these companies that supply churches with security guards and security plans and things like that. One of them is known as Church Security Services, providing church security resources and defensive tactics. Oh, it's beautiful. Church Security Services was formed to help churches handle dangerous situations that occur on your church campus. After 9/11, do you feel safe in your church? Should your church be profiling people who enter your sanctuary? How would your church handle an emergency situation? Should we try to defend ourselves? Do you have trained personnel to handle a dangerous individual in your church? Does your church have a plan to handle a disaster situation with possible medical emergencies? Would you like to have an easy guidebook to walk you through a security/safety inventory of your facilities and staff? Yeah, we're going to try and get our hands on that. It's brilliant. It really is. Okay, we have phone calls. Let's go over to the phones. Good evening. You are on Off the Wall.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
Selden.
Okay, you're one of our regular callers. We have about five calls on the line, so make it very quick so we can get to these new people.
Okay, just news of the day. It's 10 seconds. I am so happy that Obama, the pro said stem cell research will go on. Millions of Americans who suffer might find relief. The fascist right wing Christians can go to hell.
Okay, well, I think they're already there because an Obama regime to them is a certain kind of hell, and I'm happy to see them there. Good evening. You are on Off the Wall.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Hi, how you doing? Where are you calling from?
Calling from Brazil.
Brazil? Wow, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
What part of Brazil are you in?
I'm in Rio.
Rio de Janeiro. Awesome. I've never been there, but Brazil is a marvelous place. Hey, let me ask you something. Have you ever seen this television program called Alice?
Alice?
Yeah. It's available now on HBO, and apparently it comes from Brazil. It's about this woman who what's that? What's the newest capital called? The city that is the youngest one?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Brasilia.
No, there's another one. There's a smaller one. Not the capital of the country, but the capital of a region.
Oh.
You don't know what it's called?
Of a state. São Paulo, Rio, Curitiba, Recife, Porto Alegre, Florianópolis.
I feel stupid now because it was in the show. But anyway, she basically goes to São Paulo for a funeral, and after the first episode, apparently she's stuck there, and now she's getting into the high speed lane life, and it's fascinating. But it's a Brazilian program, and I just thought it was a rarity in this country to ever see something like that.
Wow, that's cool. I haven't seen it. I heard that you guys have City of Men there, which is
yes. Oh yeah, the movie is awesome. Yes,
that City of God. There's a television series called City of Men.
Oh okay. You know, it's only wonder why I get mixed up. So City of God was the movie. City of Men is the TV show, and they're both about Brazil.
Yeah, they're both about the same theme, about the same shanty house in Rio, about the same environment.
Uh huh. I'd have to see that as well because I thought City of God was the movie, right? Yeah, so I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, so I like I said, I've never been to Rio, so I'd like to make it there sometime. Have you been to São Paulo?
Yes, actually, I have family in São Paulo, but you should definitely come to Rio. It's beautiful, and you know, coming Carnival or whenever, it's always beautiful, and yeah, it's a great place.
Absolutely. Anything else on your mind tonight?
Well, I just called about Monsanto. Actually, Monsanto has a very evil activities in Brazil also, because they don't only produce GM seeds. Their GM seeds are actually produced so that the seeds can withstand the horrible pesticides and herbicides that Monsanto produces. So the only point of growing a GM seed is that it won't die along with everything else when you throw Roundup at your crop. And Roundup is actually a kind of refinement of Agent Orange. So it's all horrible technology, GMs and Monsanto. They're really evil. And those things about harassing farmers, that happens all over the world too, you know, with lawsuits and contaminating crops.
Yeah, I don't think people realize just what a hard life farmers have. In addition to having to get up in the middle of the night to milk cows and things like that, this nonsense that they have to deal with mega corporations.
Yeah, but well, thanks for the show, man, and for everything else, the conferences and everything. I want to go to Hope someday, maybe the next one.
Have you ever been to the States?
I have. I have been to New York when I was a bit younger, and to the Bay Area, like Berkeley and San Francisco.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty incredible, New York, and just traveling around the rest of the world. And Brazil is such an amazing, interesting place. I want to see more of it. I only got to see a little bit of it, and it's just it's really a place I'd like to know more about.
Yeah, São Paulo is cool. It has good food and everything and good people, but Rio is something else, and Salvador, and Brazil is huge.
Uh-huh. Cool. All right, well, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Go to some more. 631-632-9872. And by the way, that show I was mentioning, I just found it online, www.alice-hbo.tv. You can find out all about it there, except I think it's not in English. But you'll find an English version somewhere. All right, let's take another call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm in, where am I? Lake Grove. Nothing crazy.
Oh, okay, nearby.
Okay, yeah, real quick. I was on YouTube just the other day, and I was watching something. I just typed in Archie Bunker, and it was the thing about guns on airplanes.
Oh, yeah, right.
You guys did things. You know that, when there's Archie Bunker thing, yeah. You just armed all your passengers there, and when you're all done, you collect the guns back.
Now, when that aired in the 1970s, it was the funniest thing because it was such a stupid idea, and now people say that, and they're serious.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking what you do is before you walk into the church there, you pass out your M16 there, and you have the guy does his thing there, and when you're done with the sermon, you give the gun back, and everybody's good.
Yeah, that's what Jesus would have done.
There you go. Yeah. Can you imagine
what the side on? It's just how crazy a world have we created where people are shooting up churches that are, you know, part of the community. It's not like it's a religious war that it's one religion fighting against another. That's been going on for centuries. But these are just people in the community that snap. And when you snap and you happen to have an arsenal in your garage, it's a lot easier to cause all kinds of harm. And people just don't seem to be able to get why that's a bad idea. They just go on about, well, we have to be able to, you know, to fight the government when they become corrupt. You know what, folks? You're never going to get a more corrupt government than we just had the last 8 years, and not one of you took up arms against that government, so I don't think that's a valid reason anymore.
No, that's not a valid reason. That's not at all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to play with guns, fine. You want to hunt, you want to do all kinds of things like that, fine. But let's observe some safety protocol so that this kind of thing does not keep happening. And boy, does it keep happening.
Yeah, it sure does. All right, I'll let you maybe possibly squeeze another phone call.
I'm going to try. Thanks for your call. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Manorville.
Manorville, out east.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to respond to the predictions for 2109.
Okay, go ahead. You have about a minute.
Public transportation, rivers are going to be used more trains. I think communities are going to be smaller. There are going to be more farms surrounding them. The Secretary of Agriculture recently jackhammered a cement driveway, I think, near his home, and is going to put a little garden in there. It's a good example. And I see more community activity with much more simpler and cheaper art recreation for instance, puppetry is going to come back because people are going to look for simpler and cheaper forms of recreation right in their community.
Puppetry? Puppetry is going to come back.
Pardon?
Puppetry, you say?
Yeah, puppetry is going to come back.
Wow.
It's an important form of recreation and entertainment in Europe that is not that prominent here.
I'm all for that. I mean, we don't have enough puppets. I say that many times.
We need more puppets.
Yeah, more puppets, absolutely.
We need more puppet shows in small communities. I'm a guerrilla puppeteer. I go out into communities and give free puppet shows.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, keep doing that. And thanks for the positive words.
All right.
That's a good optimistic view of the future. More puppets. I love it. All right. That's going to do it for our phone calls tonight. In fact, that's going to do it for our show tonight. Yeah. We'll see you next week. OTW@2600.com. Good night.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me diste en el clandestino por no llevar papel. Pa' una ciudad del norte yo me fui a trabajar. Mi vida la dejé entre Ceuta y Gibraltar. Soy una raya en el mar, fantasma en la ciudad. Mi vida va prohibida, dice la autoridad. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino por no llevar papel. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino, yo soy el quiebra ley. Mano negra clandestina, peruano clandestino, africano clandestino, marihuana ilegal. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Argelino clandestino, nigeriano clandestino, boliviano clandestino, mano negra ilegal.
Kids, it is 7 p.m. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1.